Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. As I'm wont to do here, I'm preaching a salad series. And it's not really a series because it's not frequent enough, I suppose. But we're at number 4 out of 14. And we call it the salad series because I'm dealing with the "let us" passages in the book of Hebrews. Last time was "let us hold fast to our profession." And this is the passage here tonight is right on the heels of that. Basically, it's tied together with the other one. But the previous message was we don't want a religion, we want a relationship. We need to hold fast to that profession. We need to have personal faith in the person of Christ. Amen. And trusting the promise that He will never break that relationship. And that relationship can't be broken once it's established. So the "let us" tonight is at the end of chapter 4, there in verse 16. And the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, that this message would be a comfort and a help to these people tonight, to know that they can come, and it's through the person of Jesus Christ that they can come, and just encourage them to come tonight in their need for you. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
So have you ever been invited to someone's house, or maybe to the boss's office, a friend's house, or an important person's house, a rich person's house, or a powerful person's house, and you had some sort of need, or even if it was a friend you hadn't seen for a while, and you wanted to talk and catch up? Since you were invited, there's a certain way that you would show up, whether it's to the office or to the house. And you were greeted in a certain way. We'll put it that way. You were received by the person who invited you. You were allowed in. When you showed up and you knocked on the door, whether it's the house or the office, the person who invited you in. They didn't just deal with you there on the doorstep, say what you had to say. No, you got invited in because you were invited. Sometimes you're made comfortable. Here, sit over here in the special chair, the special spot. Let me take your coat for you. You know, as much as possible, depending on the situation, it's maybe not that comfortable going into the boss's office necessarily, maybe just a chair. But at someone's house, you're welcomed in and sat down. Hey, let me take your coat for you. Would you like something to drink? Downright pampered sometimes when someone invites you to their house. You get welcomed personally. And this might apply to someone who is in a position of power or has money or that sort of thing, where maybe a servant would also greet you and a servant would take care of you. But that person that invites you is going to show up and welcome you personally. You're given exclusive attention. You know, sometimes the visit could just be for social reasons. And so you're spending one-on-one time, close time with that person who invited you. And sometimes if you're looking for help, you're given in that time, that personal time, help and assistance. You get some questions answered that you needed answered. You maybe get some resources that you were looking for. And this ties into the last message, because if you have a profession, and if Jesus is your Savior, you are invited by Jesus Christ. There's a place He wants you to come. You are invited to the office. You are invited to the house because there's a connection. This person knows you. Jesus Christ knows you. And you know Him, and He's inviting you. Jesus has a standing invitation. I'm going to have you turn to a couple places tonight. Turn to the book of John. And keep your finger in Hebrews. We'll be back here. John chapter 15. And verses 15 and 16. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." That's verse 15. Okay. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." That's our standing invitation from Jesus Christ. He was telling his apostles and his disciples before he left, "I'm inviting you to pray to the Lord." So since you're invited, here in Hebrews, our verse tells us how we should come. "Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace." So let's think about our attitude. It says that we can come boldly. You can come with boldness before God with your prayers because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ understands your need. If you flip back there to Hebrews in our passage, verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus invites you because he understands. He knows you. He knows your need. Whatever it is, at any time, he knows. It says that he's touched. He feels for and he has compassion towards you. He knows how you feel. Mm-hmm. He knows what you're going through. Amen. The verse also says that he was tempted. He knows what you're up against. He knows the power that this flesh of ours has. He knows the power of the adversary. He was tempted of the devil too. He knows all these things. He was fully God, but he was also fully man, but had never sinned. But because he was fully man, he understands you. And because he understands you, he invites you. And he has invited you because it's his job. He came to earth to be an intercessor for us, to reconcile us to God, to create that relationship that once was dead that we have with God. Amen. It's his job. The verse here in verse 15, he says that he is that high priest. The writer's talking to Hebrews, and so they would understand the Jewish context here. When you wanted to make a sacrifice, when you needed to pray, when you wanted to make an offering to God, you went to the high priest. That's what you did. He was the go-between. Jesus is the go-between now. He is that great high priest, the one that you and I should go to. That is his job. That's what he came to earth for, to bring us to God. It's the number one job that Jesus has. His number one job is to help you. And the biggest way that he helped was come and die on that cross for you. But it doesn't stop there. He wants to keep helping you. He's still up there. When that adversary, when that accuser comes before God, says, "Oh, look what he did," Christ is there making intercession. Amen. For you and I. Not only is it his job, it's his pleasure to do this. See what he said there in John chapter 15. He said, "Ye are my friends." You want to help your friends, don't you? When your friend has a need, you certainly want to do whatever you can. Jesus calls you friend. He wants you to come. He's inviting you because it's his job and because you're his friend and because he knows all about it. You can come. When you have Christ, in some ways you don't need a 200-person network. You've got one of the greatest helps you ever need.
Amen.
And we're talking about boldness. So this is the one who invited us. So I can come to God with boldness. Just like you walk up to that person's house who's your friend, or maybe that that powerful person might be a better example. You're not too worried about getting chased off the property. Why? Because you were invited. They want you there. You have an appointment. But I want you to understand, too, that boldness is not the same as being brazen. Because we are dealing with God here. The boldness that we're talking about is an openness, a frankness, and assurance that we can come. We can have boldness in the sense that we can have openness because we can't hide anything from him. When we come, he knows.
Amen.
He knows why we're coming. He knows what kind of mood you're in when you're coming. And he wants you to come.
Amen.
So we can be completely open and honest with God and with Jesus because he knows. You're not hiding anything. And we can be frank with him. We're not necessarily open and honest and frank and forthright with each other because sometimes we don't want to look bad or we don't want to burden somebody else or any of those things. You don't have to be embarrassed when you come to the throne of grace by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be embarrassed because he knows.
Amen.
We don't like to admit stuff to each other. He already knows.
Amen.
You can come. And just lay it all out there. And we have assurance. We can come with that boldness of assurance that, yes, he has invited me here. He wants me here. See, brazen, a lot of times when we think of boldness, we think of brazen. And this is not what it's talking about. Brazen is a heart or mind attitude that says, here I am. What are you going to do about it? Oh, that's not how we go before God. And we can have that attitude sometimes when it comes to our access. You have to listen to me until I'm done. I deserve to be here. It can come to our assistance. And I'm not leaving until I get satisfaction. Until you do something about it. You see the difference between bold and brazen? That's not the boldness that we're talking about. And in fact, our verse here limits that attitude for us. Helps us to come with the right kind of boldness. Because it says, the reason why we're coming is that we may obtain mercy and to find grace to help in a time of need. We're coming because we need it. Not because we deserve it. But we'll get to the need in a minute. What we receive helps limit that brazenness. You're in a weak position, in a weak condition. In our pride, we don't go to someone else if we think we have it all under control, do we? We don't show up asking for help if we don't think we need any help. In our pride, we can be brazen if we think that we deserve it. But we don't deserve anything from God. But let's think about, we thought about our boldness, let's think about our access. Where are we coming boldly to? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. The very throne of God himself. That's where we're being invited to.
Amen.
And it ties back into that previous, let us, because it's through Jesus Christ that you have access to that very throne of God. Jesus tore the veil. Mark 15, verses 37 and 38 tells us how the veil, when Jesus was crucified, the veil was torn in two. And Jews would understand that picture of that veil. That veil was there to separate everyone from the Ark of the Covenant, that mercy seat where God said that he would meet with his people. There was only one person who was allowed behind that curtain, and he was only allowed back there one time a year. But when Jesus paid for your sin and for mine on that cross, that veil was torn in two.
Amen.
He gave everyone access through him.
Praise God.
Now the high priest himself ushers you in to that mercy seat, that throne of grace, so that you can talk to God. John 10, verse 9 tells us, Jesus told us that he is the door. Through him we go in and out and find pasture. In and out, whenever we want. It's not locked.
Amen.
But he is the door. He is how we have access. Boldness and access. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to look at verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2, 18. And there it says, "For through him," that's Jesus Christ, "we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." That "both" he's talking about is Jews and Gentiles. Jews and you and me. We have access now because of what Christ did. Right to the very throne of God. Sometimes you see these illustrations, these pictures maybe in advertising and things like that where somebody is standing there trying to make a decision and there's several doors. 3 doors or 5 doors or 12 doors. What should I do? You have a door that the lost world does not have. A door that opens to the throne of grace. That you can come before God with your prayers and with your needs, with your feelings. You have a door. And let's think about that access. Let's think about that throne. There in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Who is on that throne is the Father." The Father. You know, the Morrisons and the Kuzels, they know a few people that are close to the King of Swaziland. And so sometimes they can kind of pull those strings or talk to this person or that person and possibly get an audience with the King of Swaziland, a real king. Small country, but a real king nonetheless. How much more significant is the person that you have access to?
That's good, brother.
The King of heaven and earth. He's referred to as our Father. So it's not just some aloof king that you don't know. It's your Father that you have access to. An all-powerful, all-knowing, supremely loving God. Through Christ, we receive the adoption of sons, co-heirs with Christ. I don't know if we can get our head fully wrapped around that. The resources that he has and wants to give us if we come to him. You know, my daughters will be hovering sometimes off behind me. They'll want something. And I know what they want. But I let them go sometimes until they ask me. Because I want that relationship built. Your father, even though he is your father, he wants that relationship built. He wants you to come and ask. Just ask. And if I'm that way with my daughters, how much more so is my Father in heaven? We have access to the Father, the Supreme Father. And that throne here is described in our verse as the throne of grace. So let's think about our assistance. What are we getting when we come to God? Mercy. Grace. Help. Let's think about those three things for a minute. Mercy. I can come to God and I can receive mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And sometimes in these situations of life, you find yourself in a place where the help that you need is to just dodge a bullet. You got a problem heading your way and you don't know how you're going to handle it or what you're going to do. God could take that problem and just brush it to the side. You maybe put yourself in that fix. And you don't really deserve a way out of it because you made your own bed and you should sleep in it. But we have access to a Father who is all powerful, who loves you, who wants to show you how powerful He is and how good He is. And sometimes, if you come to Him and you ask Him, you might just dodge that bullet. Sometimes that's the help that we need. We also receive grace. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. God can provide things unexpectedly. And sometimes it looks like it comes from the people around us. Sometimes we wonder how these, a lot of people ascribe it to luck or chance or just go right on down the list of things that we attribute it to. Without attributing it to God, sometimes the help that you need is just a sudden windfall. Something out of the blue that you didn't expect. A check that shows up in the mail. Where in the world is this from? And not a scam. But the check in the mail that you've forgotten about, maybe. Or someone who you had talked to a long time ago suddenly crosses your path and can help you with a situation that you're dealing with in an exact way, you never thought you were going to see that person again. That's not chance. That's God. That's God's grace. Amen. And He wants to give that to you. That's what we can get at God's throne. And help. And it's a specific kind of help here in our verse 2. Find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes we need help. And help is definitely more specific than mercy and grace. Help is what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. It's God, you could, and that help can come, like we said, as God's direct intervention on your behalf. God can help you to dodge that bullet or wire those funds or whatever it is. God can directly help in situation. But that's not the only kind of help He gives. He gives us His Word. God's Word can be His help for us. If you think about standing in front of those doors, and you go through that door that gives you access to the throne, He'll tell you which door to go back and choose. Through His Word, you can find the counsel that you need here in His Word. Being on a reading plan is a good thing to be doing. Read through the Bible in a year or whatever, some sort of reading plan. Because you know what I've found? When I come across a situation and I don't know what to do, I'm really at my wit's end and I don't know where to turn in my Bible, I say, well, I have this reading plan, and this is what I say I should read today. God knows exactly where you were going to be in that plan. And the help is right there. It's been right there for me. It's like, how did you know? I'm just following the plan, and here it is. This is what I'm supposed to do. God's word can be our help. Amen. In that time of need. And this other one ties into God as our Father. God inclines his ear toward you. That's to bend down and listen. Sometimes the help that we need is like the help of a friend. I just want to come and talk. God, I have to get something off my chest. This is really bothering me. I'm burdened by this. And you don't even necessarily want help. You just want to talk. Talk to a friend. Oh, what a friend we have. And sometimes I found with, like, my buddy, for example, sometimes he'll call me and he'll say, I've got this situation, I want to talk to you about it. And he talks about it, and I don't say a thing, and he figures out what he needs to do just by talking it through, saying it out loud. We're saying it to God. Why? Because we don't have to be ashamed. And he knows. Amen. So I can open up and I can talk it through right there in front of God. And even that is a help. God wants even that. Just come and talk to me. Talk it through. Maybe it'll make sense when you're done talking. And it says that this help is in our time of need. Whenever you need help, or even if you just think you need it, he's there. If I call my friend, he's not always available. I can leave a message or send a text, sure. But he's a human friend. He's not always there. God is always there to help you in your time of need. There is no limit to your access either. We can come boldly. That door that Christ opened is still open today. It doesn't open and shut. Jesus says that you can go in and out and find pasture. That door is always open. Think of it this way. There's no data limit on your relationship with God. Amen. Not only that, there's no limit to his resources. It's all his. Amen. And he can give it, and give it freely. And it's help in time of need. This help will be tailored to the exact need at the exact time. Now keep this in mind, his time, but at the exact right time. Nothing's going to get in the way of God's help. It's like an airdrop. Puts it right where it needs to go. Right on target. Why? Because he knows. He knows the time, he knows the help, he knows you, he knows. See, God's nature as a father is what I call a true liberal. A lot of times we think about liberalism in terms of politics today. Those in government who endorse a take from this group and give it to that group, that's not what a liberal is. A true liberal is someone who realizes how incredibly much they have compared to others and freely distributes what they personally have to help those who need it. Mm-hmm. That's a liberal. I've got so much, I'm going to start giving it to these people. Not, I'm going to take from you and give it to them. No, I've got so much and I'm going to spread it around. That's God. He's a real liberal. He is liberal with his love, with his resources, with his attention to you. This is God. He causes it to rain on the just and unjust. How much more will he help you who are co-heirs with Christ, who have been adopted into his family, who you have him as your father? So that's the assistance that we get. We've looked at our attitude, the access, the assistance. Now I want you to look at therefore. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Therefore, because Jesus is fully man, therefore, he knows intimately what you and I face. He knows exactly what you're going through. Verse 15 tells us that. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He was tempted in all points, just like you. He knows. He knows all about it. And he also knows how weak you are. Psalm 103, God tells us that he remembers that we are just dust. Jesus knows how weak you and I are. He wasn't weak in the same way that we're weak. He was fully connected to God. He was fully God. But he subjected himself to the same conditions that you and I face. He wore the same flesh that you and I wear. He knows. Therefore, because Jesus is fully man, come boldly. Because of these things, therefore, he has invited you. And if he's inviting you, just like the boss in the office or that friend at their house, when I invite someone to come over to my house, most of the time, I'm looking for them 15 minutes before I said to come. Are they here yet? When are they going to come? Oh, it's 15 minutes yet. That's God. He's invited you. He says, when are they going to come? Where are they? I invited them. They should be here by now. He wants you to come. You're invited. Therefore, because he's invited you, come boldly to the throne of grace. Because we need help. Until you realize that you need help, you're not likely to come. This is a command. It says, come. Wake up. If you're not awake already, you need help. You might think that you don't, but you do. And a lot of times you really know that you do. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace. Realize for yourself that you need it. Admit to yourself. Get off your pride. Stop worrying about those resources and that network. And come through that access of Christ to the throne of God. Because you need it, therefore, come boldly. Therefore, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Whatever it is, go to his throne. Come boldly. Maybe it's a problem with a relationship. Maybe it's a problem at work. Maybe you have a problem at home. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe there's sickness. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're uncertain. Maybe you're facing temptation. Maybe you need your sins forgiven. Come boldly. He has invited you. Many in the church are experiencing loss right now. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Even if it's just to talk to him, to pour it out before him. Say, God, I don't know if I can handle this. I need help. He'll help. The throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in that time of need. Therefore, let us come boldly. He knows. God has provided a door of access to his throne of grace, and Jesus is the door. If you know Jesus Christ, you can come before God and just lay it all out to him. He's invited you, and he says, come. The command is right here. Come. Stop waiting around. Stop trying to fight your way through it and come. And come boldly knowing that you are invited. That He already knows. And with the knowledge that He can help and He wants to help. Amen. He wanted to help you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. To take away your sin. And if He can help with that, can't He help with anything else?
Amen.
Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Not brazenly, but with assurance and openness and honesty. Because just like the boss in the office or just like the friend, He is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Come boldly and get the help that you need.
Amen.
Come boldly to the throne of grace.